نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد، فان اصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الامور محدثاتها فان كل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار. سيد الله سبحانه وتعالى جزء اليوم يرجع سيد سيتي زيد his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. So Muslims, you must know that the basic teacher is the teacher of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The basic guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Sunnah. The worth of all affairs is an innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. After that, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today, inshallah, it is Tuesday, the 12th of Sha'ban for the year 1419, after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is equivalent to the 1st of December for the year 1998. And today, inshallah, is supposed to be our 36th class in the book Bulugh al-Maram, which tries to explain the hadith of this book as well as to point to the authenticity of the hadith. And today this is the class number 36, which is the class before the last one before Ramadan inshallah. And we're going to have a short class tonight inshallah. And we're dealing with a new chapter, which is bab Sawm al-Tatawwu'. Sawm al-Tatawwu'. The optional fasting or the voluntarily fasting. And talking about the voluntarily fasting, everything other than Ramadan, every fasting other than the month of Ramadan, it is the optional fasting. That means it's not a must. They are not obligated. And we understood this from Hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the man, Iman, came and asked him, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it obligatory in him? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him to fast 1 month, the month of Ramadan. He questioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make anything else obligatory in me? Or do I have to fast any more fasting besides Ramadan? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, illa an tatawwa, except if you make tatawwa fasting, voluntarily fasting, optional fasting. We understood the end of this hadith, this famous hadith, that the man is swear by Allah that he's not going to add any more than the obligation. The 5 times a day, the fasting of Ramadan, the basics of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that this man, aflah al-Arabi in Sabah, that this Bedouin man, if he keeps his promise, if he fulfills the obligation, the 5 times only, the fasting of Ramadan only, the basics of Islam only, no addition, no voluntarily, he said, aflah, he will succeed. That means he will go to paradise. So any fasting other than Ramadan is optional. And the optional fasting is one of the ways that we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing optional fasting, this is one of the means and the ways that we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had informed us in the Hadith al-Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that his slaves could not get closer to him with anything better than fulfilling the obligatory act from Salah, fasting, Hajj, Zakah, these things which is obligatory. This is the best means to get closer to Allah. And وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, that my slave continues coming closer to me and closer by doing optional deeds. And by doing this, that I will love him. So optional deeds are one of the ways that bring us closer to Allah, and one of the ways that make us earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, my slave continuing coming closer to me with voluntarily act until I love him. So voluntarily fasting, as inshallah we're going to mention about this in today, tonight's class, is one of the means to bring us closer to Allah. Is one of the means to remove and forgive our sins. One of the ways to raise us in degree before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the ways to keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make Allah pleased with us. Although there are optional fasting and voluntarily fasting and days which is recommended to fast, but still in Islam there are certain days which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited the Muslim to fast, even if he won't do a voluntarily fast. And inshallah we're going to be talking about it in our class tonight. So from this we understand that even if you want to please Allah, you still have to please Allah according His way. And according the choice and the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As example, a person could not choose Friday and say, I want to please Allah, I'm going to fast to Friday. Although he's doing voluntarily. But your act, your voluntarily act, it has to be accordingly the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the like and the dislike of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for those who have both Bulugh al-Maram, and by the way, we have two books here from Brother Abdul Bari for reduced price for the students of this class, if anybody would like to purchase. So for those who have the book, both Bulugh al-Maram, Attainment of the Objective, you may open page number 235. باب صوم التطوع وما نهي عن صومه. The chapter concerning observing optional fasting and what then forbidden to fast. عن أبي قتادة الأنصاري. This hadith number 562. Hadith number 562. عن أبي قتادة الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن صوم يوم عرفة قال يكفر السنة الماضية والباقية وسئل عن صوم يوم عاشوراء فقال يكفر السنة الماضية وسئل عن صوم يوم الاثنين فقال ذلك يوم ولدت فيه وبعثت فيه وأنزل علي فيه. رواه مسلم. The hadith reported by Abu Qatada al-Ansari. May Allah be pleased with him and all the Ansar and the Muhajirin. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, so the hadith is authentic. That the Prophet of Allah being questioned concerning observing the fasting of the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah is the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. The ninth day of Dhul Hijjah. And Dhul Hijjah is the last month in the Islamic calendar, the 12th month. The day which the Muslims who is in Hajj, they have to be in the city of Arafah, standing on the mountain of Arafah, around the area of Arafah. Not out of Arafah, it has to be in the Arafah itself. The known place, the well-known place, Arafah, from Arafah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been questioned concerning a person who will volunteer to fast this day. Not because he breaks his fast during Ramadan, not because he owes certain fasting, but he wants to do it voluntarily. What is the reward? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will be expiation for the previous year before that day, and will be expiation, that means forgiveness, for the coming year after this day. That means to observe the fasting of the day of Arafah will be forgiveness for 2 years. The year that just passed before that day and the year that is coming. Alhamdulillah, great reward. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been questioned concerning the fasting of Ashura, the 10th of Al-Muharram. Muharram is the first month of the Islamic calendar. So the 10th called Ashura from Ashara. The 10th. He said, يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ will be forgiveness for your sins for the previous year. And he didn't question concerning observing the day of Monday, in fasting, voluntarily. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that day which I born, that day which Allah had commissioned me, made me a prophet and messenger, and that day which Allah sent the Quran on me. So this is something special about the day of Monday. The day that the Prophet ﷺ been born in is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commissioned him, and the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran on him. And this shows us, if there is something called celebration for the birthday of the Prophet, it's not only for the birthday, but for him being a prophet and for being receiving the Quran. And if there is a form of celebration, the proper form will be by fasting that day, not by doing anything else. Because it's what is recommended in this hadith, the fasting, not any other action. So we understand from this hadith that this is 3 days which is recommended to be observed in fasting. The day of Arafah, the day of Ashura, and Monday from every week. Page number 236. Hadith number 563. وعن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه. He also from the Ansar, Abu Ayyub from the Ansar, one of those people who welcomed and protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went to Medina. So he been attributed to the action of what he did is welcoming the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hometown, protecting him, supporting him, strengthening his da'wah. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستا من شوال كان كصيام الدهر. The person, this hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Abu Ayyub, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that whosoever fast the month of Ramadan and follow it by 6 days out of Shawwal. And Shawwal is the month which comes immediately after Ramadan. He will be considered or rewarded as a person who fasts the whole of his life. That means that every year you will fast Ramadan and 6 days of Ramadan, the next year you do the same, the next year you do the same, so you will be considered as if you fasting every day. Because you're getting for every day that you fast, Al-Hasana bi'ashri amthaliha. Blessing, you'll be rewarded for each blessing 10 times. So if you observe the fasting of Ramadan, which usually 30 days, this means 300 days in reward. And you fast 60 days from Shawwal, this is 60 days in reward. So 300 plus 60 will be 360, which is the year. Okay? If you do this every year, you will be rewarded as a person who has been fasting all his life, all the time. The hadith is authentic. Hadith number 554. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من عبد يصوم يوما في سبيل الله إلا باعد الله بذلك اليوم عن وجهه النار 70 خريفا. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhim. And the hadith is reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. The hadith is authentic. That whosoever observes a fasting, optional fasting, for the pleasure of Allah, as a result of doing one day fasting for the pleasure of Allah, Allah sets you a distance away from hellfire 70 kharif, 70 autumn, a season. The season that comes between the summer and the winter called autumn. And the autumn, that means it comes once a year. So 70 autumn, that means 70 years. For every day that you fast voluntarily. Some of the scholars understood that this fasting will be during the time of jihad, fi sabilillah, while you actually fighting. As though you understand that this to such a degree that we assume that we never break this fast. Because the numbers of days, many days that we used to fast, to such a degree that we think that he never break his fast. And that he used to break his fast a lot of days to such a degree that we think that he did not observe his fast. His fasting, okay? So that means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to fast a lot and also he used to break his fast a lot. And this is taking the middle course. Okay? To be easy in yourself. And she said, I never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast a whole month, a complete month from A to Z, from day 1 until the 30th or the 29th, except what? The month of Ramadan. So that means he didn't complete a whole month in optional fasting, only in obligatory, which is the month of Ramadan. And I never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast more in any month than the month of Sha'ban, the month which precedes or comes before Ramadan. That means during Ramadan, he used to fast the whole month. And during the month before Ramadan, he used to what? Fast most of it. More than any other month. Hadith number 556 عن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نصوم من الشهر 3 أيام 13 و14 و15. رواه النسائي والترمذي وصححه ابن حبان والحديث صحيح. أبو ذر reported that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم command us. Okay? And we understand the command here to be what? That means he did not make it obligatory. Because the only obligatory time to fast is what? Is Ramadan. That means we understand Amarana command us to be what? Strongly recommended. Okay? Strongly recommended. But it's not a must. That if you did not do it, you'll be doing something haram. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strongly recommended for us to observe the fasting of 3 days of every month, which 13, 14, and 15 from the Islamic calendar. This called Al-Ayyam Al-Qamariya, or Al-Layal Al-Qamariya. Okay? This when is the moon almost full, completely, and that shining, very bright, okay? So, these 3 days, which is the 12, the 13, the 14, the 15, strongly recommended. And the 8 year fast is this, as we mentioned before, for each day that you fast, Allah rewarding you 10 times, that means you're fasting almost, you have fasted the whole month. And if you do every month, that means as if you observe the fasting of the whole year. Okay? This is the layali al-qamariya, the moonly night. And the hadith is authentic. Page number 237 and hadith number 567. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يحل لامرأة أن تصوم وزوجها شاهد إلا بإذنه. متفق عليه. حديث reported by أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhim. The hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, reported by Abu Hurairah. The hadith is authentic. That is not lawful for a woman to observe optional fasting while her husband is witness, present, in his home or in his town without seeking his permission. Again, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying la yahillu, that means is not lawful, that means is prohibited for a wife to fast while her husband is home, while her husband in town, without seeking his permission. Okay? So, although that the optional fasting is recommended, great reward in it, but the greater reward comes in being obedient to your husband, fulfilling his needs and his desires. And if a woman wants to do optional fasting, she has to get the permission and the approval of her husband first, except if she knew that he doesn't mind. Okay? So this will be a permission by not what she knows from his habit. But still, it is his right more for her doing optional fasting, that he has the right first over her than her observing the optional fasting. And this shows us the great right that a husband has over his wife to such a degree that she could not indulge in any optional deed which may cause neglecting of his right. Hadith number 558, وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن صيام يومين, يوم الفطر ويوم النحر. متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhim. The hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade the fasting of 2 days. Even if you want to do it optional, okay? If you want to do it volunteer, it's still forbidden. Forbid 2 days. This is the day of Fitr and the day of sacrifice, which is the feast, the Eid, the day after Ramadan immediately till Yawm al-Fitr. Because this day that you break your fast, you have to. This fasting in that day is haram. And Yawm al-Nahr, the day when you slaughter your sacrifice, which is the tenth of the Hijjah. Okay? The tenth day of the last month in the Islamic calendar. The day which comes immediately after the day of Arafah. These 2 days are Eid, are Eid for the Muslims. It's forbidden for them to fast. وعن نبيسة الهذلي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أيام التشريق أيام أكل وشرب وذكر الله وذكر الله عز وجل. رواه مسلم. حديث reported by نبيسة الهذلي جلّا بإبليز إذهم. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi, so the hadith is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the days of Tashriq, the second day of Eid, the third day of Eid, the fourth day of Eid, okay, or the second day after Arafah, the third day of after Arafah, and the fourth day after Arafah. These days are what? Are days for eating, drinking, and remembrance of Allah. That this is the most rewarded, the most recommended to be done during this day. Okay? Form of celebration, eating, and drinking, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We call ayam al-tashriq from shuruq, sunrising. Okay? The days of tashriq, which is the day called after Eid, al-Adha. The second day, the third day, and to some scholars it says the fourth day. That means it's not recommended for you to fast this day for optional fasting. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها and ابن عمر قال لم يرخص في أيام التشريق أن يصمن إلا لمن لم يجد الهدي. That hadith which in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, the hadith is authentic, reported by Aisha as well as Ibn Umar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not get permission to fast the days of Tashriq, the day after Eid al-Adha, the second day and the third day and the fourth day. He did not permit it to be fasted, except, what is the exception? To the person who could not found the sacrifice, the hadi, for the people who make Hajj, and they make Tamattu, that means they make Umrah and Hajj in the same season, the same year. This person is supposed to slaughter a sacrifice, an animal. Alright? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made exception for a person who could not found a sheep to kill or to share with others in a cow or a camel. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبَعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ تِلْكَ عَشَرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ. The person who could not find the sacrifice, so let him fast 3 days during Hajj and 7 when he come back home. This will be what? 10 days. So a person who could not find a sacrifice and he made tamattu, he made Umrah and Hajj, okay, in the same year, so this will be exception for him to fast Ayyam al-Tashriq, the days of sunrising, or the days which come after the first day of Eid. And this will also apply to the person who make Hajj and Umrah in the same year with Quran. Okay? We can explain this when we come to the chapter concerning Hajj, inshaAllah. Okay? Next hadith. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تخصوا ليلة الجمعة بقيام من بين الليالي، ولا تخصوا يوم الجمعة بصيام من بين الأيام إلا أن يكون في صوم يصومه أحدكم. حديث reported by أبو هريرة من الله بليزد هم. The hadith in the collection of الإمام مسلم رحمة الله عليه. The hadith is authentic. That رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he forbidden us to have a special form of worship for the night of Jum'ah or during the day of Jum'ah, like making qiyam, standing in tahajjud only for the night of Jum'ah, assuming that there is something special about it, that we have to make qiyam only for this night, or that we go and observe the fasting of the day of Jum'ah. Okay? Exception for this, that you make it up for some days, or this is comes to be the 13 or the 14 or the 15 as example, okay? So this is, would be something else. But don't come and pick up Friday or the night of Friday, especially from all the nights and all the days and say, oh, this is a special day I'm going to fast. And this is to teach us something, that even if you have the right intention, the good intention, you try to please Allah, it's still that your ibadah and your volunteer action, it has to be according to the like and the dislikes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has to be according to the approval and the disapproval of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? This is very, very important. And if we can understand this, now we can save ourselves from a lot of problems that have been invented by deviant sects and deviant groups and sheikhs and imams, so-called sheikhs and imams of Tariqa and Sufism and all these things. Hadith number 562 from Abu Huraira also. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يصومن أحدكم يوم الجمعة إلا أن يصوم يوما قبله أو يوما بعده. This is another condition. If you want to observe the fasting of Jum'ah, so you have to fast a day before or a day after. You have to fast a day before or a day after. And this will be acceptable in the hadith is authentic in Sahih al-Bukhari as well as Sahih Muslim. Hadith number 563, also reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا انتصف شعبان فلا تصوموا. رواه خمسة. إذا انتصف شعبان فلا تصوموا. That رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when Sha'ban, the month before Ramadan, reached the middle of it, stay away from fasting. And the hadith is authentic. Okay? Again, your optional deed, it has to be according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his approval and his disapproval. So, although you want to make optional fasting, but when Sha'ban, halfway, that means 2 weeks before Ramadan, now you have to stop fasting, optional fasting. Hadith number 564, reported by As-Samna' bint Bukh, radiallahu ta'ala anha, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا فيما فرض عليكم فإن لم يجد أحدكم إلا لحاء عنب أو عود شجرة فلينبغها. رواه الخمسة ورجال ثقات. The hadith is صحيح. The hadith is authentic. But رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم forbidden us to observe the fasting of Saturday. is forbidden us to observe the fasting of Saturday, except if something obligatory. If Ramadan starts Saturday, you have no choice. Okay? To such a degree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us to fast Saturday, that you have nothing in your house to eat. Okay? To such a degree that nothing there except a great sin or a leaf or a branch of a tree, take it and show it. So you are not going to be fasting. That means even if you don't have food, it's still try to find anything, show it in your mouth to break this fast. This is day of holiday for the Yahudi, the Jewish, and we honor this day, and some of them they observe the fasting of this day, and we have to be different from them. So if there is nothing there except the sip of water, a bowl, anything, whatever it is, even if something is not going to help you to fill your stomach, take it and show it to break the fast. And the hadith, again, is authentic. Hadith number 565. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر ما كان يصوم من الأيام يوم السبت ويوم الأحد وكان يقول إنهما يوم عيد للمشركين وأنا أريد أن أخالفهم. This hadith reported by Umm Salama رضي الله عنها say most fasting of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to be what? Saturday and Sunday. Okay? And says that this is the feast of the kuffar or the mushrikeen, and I want to be different from them. Okay? The hadith is authentic. That means to fast Saturday and Sunday together, both of them together. Not Saturday by itself. Okay? So now you're adding Sunday to it, and now will be a different. Okay? Hadith number 566 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن صوم يوم عرفة بعرفة نهى عن صوم عرفة بعرفة. And this hadith is weak. The hadith is weak. Although from other narrations we understand that the fasting of Arafah from the first hadith that we mentioned, hadith authentic there, he been questioned about the observing fasting of Arafah, and he said what? The reward of it will be what? Situation, forgiveness for the past year as well the coming year. So the fasting of Arafah is sunnah, but not for the Hajj. The people who are in the Hajj, they do not fast. So the hadith with this narration or with this quotation is weak. Hadith number 567. This is the last hadith for this class or for tonight. Reported by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la sama man sama al-abad, muttafaqun alayh. The hadith is authentic. وعن أبي قتادة بلفظ لا صام ولا أفطر. Okay? And the hadith is authentic. Reported by يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أبيض الله سبحانه وتعالى and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. But I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides into al-Islam, no one can mislead him. Asar Allah, and whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in a stay, no one can guide him. Asar Allah, I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. Inshallah, tonight is the continuation for the class number 36. This is continuation for the same page number 36, although this is class number 37. And today, inshallah, which is 19th of Sha'ban for the year 1319 after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which coincides with the 8th of December 1998. And inshallah today we have a new chapter related to Al-I'tikaf and Qiyam Ramadan. And this is our 37th class for the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam bil Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. We explain in this class the book, the attainment of the objective. And we authenticated the hadith by Sheikh al-Albani, hafizahullah, as well as other scholars. And today, when we're talking about al-i'tikaf and Ramadan, it's supposed to be, inshallah, something helpful to all of us, especially that we are about to approach the month of Ramadan very soon. And maybe, inshallah, this class will help us about observing Ramadan or observing the i'tikaf and the proper understanding according to the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, when we talk about al-i'tikaf, al-i'tikaf that the person will keep himself unoccupied with the worldly things and will keep himself busy with the ibadah and the worship and the remembrance of Almighty Allah, and that he will do this in a mosque, in a regular mosque, which is a 5-time prayer established usually always, as well as the Jum'ah, because there is other things which we call it musalla, is a room for prayer, but the people did not pray Jum'ah in it. And usually the Muslims of the town, they get together in the largest mosque in the city to make Jum'ah together. So the i'tikaf, it has to be in a mosque. And inshallah, we're going to go in more details during the class, which we can understand more about al-i'tikaf and Qiyam Ramadan. And Qiyam Ramadan is to establish the prayer during the night, during the night of Ramadan, seeking the pleasure and the reward of Almighty Allah. And inshallah also we're going to go about the reward about. But basically we have to understand that the i'tikaf as well as the Qiyam of Ramadan is Sunnah, is the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we did it, and he encouraged us to do it. It's not a must, but is optional, and it is recommended. Without going into too much detail, for those who have the book, inshallah, you may refer to this subject. In page number 240, Bab al-i'tikaf wa Qiyam Ramadan. This is the chapter or the book of al-i'tikaf and Qiyam Ramadan, offering the prayer during the night of Ramadan as well as i'tikaf. This is the first hadith in it, hadith number 568. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من قام رمضان ايمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر. متفق عليه. The hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhima. So the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying what the meaning is. من قام رمضان من القيام means to stand up. To stand up in the prayer. When during the month of Ramadan. For what reason? Imanan wahtisaban. Out of faith. That you don't it for the pleasure of Allah. Not for fame, not for showing off. But you don't it seeking the reward. Hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you for what you're doing. Only to please Allah. Out of faith. And seeking the pleasure of Allah and His reward, if you do this, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. All His bad sins. All His bad sins. His or her bad sins will be forgiven. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins as a result of standing during the night for making tahajjud, for making qiyam, qiyamul layl, to make the prayer, reciting the Quran. From this hadith we understand it is recommended to make qiyam during Ramadan. Also we understand from this hadith that one of the means of forgiveness is to establish prayer during optional prayer during the night of Ramadan. It is very important also that whatever you're doing that to be done only for the pleasure of Allah. Otherwise you are not getting any blessings out of it. So we learn from this hadith also the necessity of ikhlas and niyyah. The importance of having pure intention for all the good deeds that we do. Hadith number 569. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل العشر أي العشر الأخيرة من رمضان شد مئزرة وأحيا ليلة وأيقظ أهله. متفق عليه. This hadith is reported by Aisha, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. So the hadith is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be his habit, as his wife telling us, that when is the last 10 days of Ramadan approaching, the last 10 days of Ramadan approaching, shadda mi'zara. Mi'zar. Okay? Al-izar. That he will pull his izar. Or he will tie up his izar. What he wearing around his waist. This word is not meant in a physical sense. But this call it kinaya. That means It means different from what is written. That means that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets more active. And also that he separated himself from his wife. Okay? That means he will get away from his entertainment with his wife and devote himself more. Because the izar is the part of the clothes which cover the private parts from the navel going down. So shaddil mizar, that means a way to say that he will separate himself from his wife, that means he incline more towards the ibadah and the worship of Allah and to stay away from his wife. Wa ahya layla, from Ihya, to revive, to make it alive. That will make his mind alive. Alive with what? With the remembrance of Allah, the citation of the Quran, and Salah. Okay? That means, Ahya Layla, make his mind alive. That means less food. So less time with his wife, less time of sleep, and this not only, وَأَيْفَضَ أَهْلَهُ. So he was not only concerned about himself to be more devoted to Allah, but he was concerned also about his wife to share these blessings with him. So he used to wake them up, encouraging them to participate of being part of this ibadah. And this shows us the responsibility of the husband towards the wife. And this is the necessity of the husband to be more learned, more stronger in his deen, as a leader, as an imam for the family. So he will be a person who leads him. Because if the husband is not well versed in the Quran, how he's going to teach his wife? If he's not more stronger in the deen, how he's going to encourage her to do better? So this is very important for us. If we want to be the leaders of our houses, that we educate ourselves and set ourselves in a better example for our wives. So this used to be the mannerism of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Hadith number 570. عنها رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن يعتكف صلى الفجر ثم دخل معتكفه متفق عليه. Reported also by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he used to attend the make his i'tikaf, he will make salat al-fajr, and after this he will enter the i'tikaf place. So this teaches us also the manner, the proper way to approach i'tikaf, that you will start your i'tikaf after you perform Salat al-Fajr. And also we learn from this hadith that there is a special place for your i'tikaf, that the person will choose and select a place in the mosque, and he will put his sleeping bag there, or his tent, or whatever it is, and this will be his place for his i'tikaf, not to be busy with whatever happening in the mosque and watching whatever going on. Page number 241, hadith number 571. Hadith number 570 is authentic. Hadith number 571. عنها also reported by Aisha رضي الله عنها. كان يعتكف العشر الأواخر من رمضان. ثم توفاه الله عز وجل. ثم اعتكف أزواجه من بعده. متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make i'tikaf during the last 10 days of Ramadan. And he continued doing this until he passed away. Became his habit until he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his wives, may Allah be pleased with them all, they carried this tradition after his death. That means his wives, they used to go to the mosque in the last 10 days, and they will make i'tikaf. From this we understand the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He makes his i'tikaf in the last 10 days, that he continues doing this until he dies. And also we learn that the permissibility of women making i'tikaf and sleeping in the mosque during the i'tikaf, as long as no fitna from there, not to be causing of temptation for the men, by raising her voice, by coming with perfume, by coming in short dresses or displaying her beauty. So in this case, she could not be there because she will be causing a trouble for others. But she comes in the proper hijab, and the mask is big enough for men and women, she will take a time and she will establish a hijab there, inshallah. And the hadith is authentic. حديث نمبر 572 وعنها أيضا again from عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان ليدخل علي رأسه وهو في المسجد فأرجله وكان لا يدخل البيت إلا لحاجة إذا كان معتكفا. متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. This hadith number 572 reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Ameen. The hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima. Aisha informing us, while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making his i'tikaf, he used to stick his head inside my room or my house. I used to watch it for him and comb his hair. He did not come enter my house except for necessity. So from this hadith we learn the permissibility of the person who is in i'tikaf to take a part of his body out of the mosque for a need, as long as his feet, his legs are still inside the masjid. Number two, that permissibility of the wife touching her husband and doing things for him like combing his hair while he is in the mosque in i'tikaf. Number three, that the person who is in i'tikaf, he doesn't leave the mosque, he doesn't leave the i'tikaf except for something necessity. As example, going to answer the call of nature. Because the bathroom is not inside the musalla, is not inside the mosque, so he will have to go out. And in that time, Rasulullah ﷺ, he doesn't go to his house except for answering the call of nature. This was considered as a necessity. Hadith number 573. Reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, السُنَّ عَلَى الْمُعْتَكِفِ أَلَّا يَعُودَ مَرِيضًا وَلَا يَشْهَدَ جَنَازَةً وَلَا يَمَسَّ الْمَرْأَةَ وَلَا يُبَاشِرْهَا وَلَا يَخْرُجْ لِحَاجَةٍ إِلَّا لِمَا لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ وَلَا اِعْتِكَافَ إِلَّا بِصَوْمٍ وَلَا اِعْتِكَافَ إِلَّا فِي مَسْجِدٍ جَامِعٍ. حسن صحيح إن شاء الله. This hadith reported by Aisha. So, it is mawquf. This hadith, Aisha is saying that from the sunnah, that it is the sunnah, the tradition, that the person who has i'tikaf, that he is engaged in i'tikaf, that he doesn't go out to visit the sick, neither he go out of his i'tikaf for attending the funeral. He doesn't touch his woman in with desire. Neither he has intercourse with his wife. Because he is in i'tikaf. And all the things, again, is i'tikaf. Or the manner of i'tikaf. He doesn't leave the mosque except for a necessity. Except for a necessity. That there is no i'tikaf without fasting. That we know i'tikaf without fasting. That means a part of the i'tikaf that you be observing the fast. And we said when you go to start your i'tikaf, you start it after Salat al-Fajr. Which you're going to be fasting during the day, break your fast by Maghrib, and after this you engage in your time in zikrullah, remembrance, reciting the Quran, making salah, making istighfar, studying knowledge of the deen. This is what you engage yourself in. So no i'tikaf, that means sitting in the masjid with the purpose of being in seclusion and keeping yourself only for this purpose. This is what you call it i'tikaf. I'tikaf, that means being in the mosque for the last 10 days, seeking the pleasure of Allah by spending this time inside the mosque. No i'tikaf without fasting. And no i'tikaf in any mosque except mosque jami', a collective mosque. The mosque, which is the Muslims go to pray the five time prayers and Jum'ah. Small musallas and corner mosque, this is not a mosque. This is a musalla only. Okay? It has to be a place which the people come for the five time prayers and Jum'ah. This hadith is Hassan and authentic. Hadith number 574. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس على المعتكف في الصيام إلا أن يجعله على نفسه. Okay. I was not able to reach a conclusion concerning the authenticity of this hadith. So I will leave it as is. But this was assumption that a person wants to make i'tikaf in other than Ramadan. Because in Ramadan you're going to have to be fasting. And Allah knows this. Hadith number 575, page number 242. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رجلا من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قروا ليلة القدر في المنام في السبع الأواخر فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أرى رؤياكم قد تواطأت في السبع الأواخر فمن كان متحريها فليتحراها في السبع الأواخر متفق عليه. This hadith which is reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. In the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhina. The hadith is authentic. Some of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sahaba companion saw in their dream, in their vision while they sleeping, Laylatul Qadr was among the last seven nights of Ramadan. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I see that your dreams agree regarding the last seven nights. So, if any one of you is to seek and search for this night, let him try to catch it during the last 7 days. Or seven nights, excuse me. Let him try to search for it, that means to try to take advantage of it in the last 7 nights. As we understand that Laylatul Qadr, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call it Laylatul Qadr, which is some people translate it in English, the night of power, or the magnificent night. The night which the Quran starts being revealed in it, as Allah said, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Indeed, we have revealed it in the night of Qadr. The night which has a lot of value. This is the meaning of Qadr. It has a great value. And Allah explained it in the Quran that it's better than 1,000 months. That means if Allah bless you and that you make in worship and prayer and dhikr and recitation of the Quran during this night, it happens to be Laylatul Qadr, you will be credited more than 83 years of good deeds to your book of deeds. You will be credited not only 83, more than this. Okay? And this is sufficient to encourage all of us that we try to catch this night, not to let it go. So the Sahaba, because they're so concerned about this night, they've been dreaming about it. Everybody's been dreaming about it. And most of them, they saw in their dream to be in the last 7 nights. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that you should be more active during this because the possibilities, because the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with them, because their obedience to Allah, their dream is close from the reality. And also our dream can be good, it depends about how much we truthful and good people. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that after him there is no revelation. And the only thing been left is the Mubashirat, the good news. What it is? A good dream that you will see it or somebody see it to you. And the most truthful among you will be the most truthful in their dream. That sometimes you see a dream, the next day you see it taking place in front of your own eyes. Okay? So Allah will give you indication in your dream and you will see things which will take a place. Good things, inshallah. So for those who are concerned about searching for the night of power, they be more active in the last 7 days of, excuse me again, the last seven nights of Ramadan. Because it is a night, it's not a day. Start from Maghrib, sunset, until Fajr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Salamun hiya, hatta matla' al-fajr. Peace or peaceful, it will be until the time of dawn. Hadith number 576. وعن معاوية بن أبي سفيان رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في ليلة القدر ليلة 27 رواه أبو داود والراجح وصفه وقد اختلف في تعيينها على 40 قولا. This hadith is authentic, reported by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing us that Laylatul Qadr is the night of 27. But as we understand, as the author of this book explains, Bulugh al-Maram, he says that in the book of Fath al-Bari, Fath al-Bari is the book which explains Sahih al-Bukhari, there is 40 different opinions concerning when is the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. So the possibility that this hadith is relating about a certain year, that was the 27th, as some of the scholars said that the night moved from one year to the other year. That means this year can be the 27th, the next year can be the 29th, the next year can be the 23rd, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قلت يا رسول الله أرأيت إن علمت أي ليلة ليلة القدر ما أقول فيها؟ قال قولي اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني رواه الخمسة. This hadith reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. And the hadith in the collection of Abu Dawood, excuse me, the hadith in the collection of At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Al-Nisa'i, and the hadith is authentic. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she questioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's assume that the night of Qadr been shown to me, that sometimes you get certain feelings or certain indications, right, your vibes or whatever it is, that if or I saw a dream, for whatever reason that I felt or I've been given a sign that this is the night of Qadr, what is for me to say? What for me to ask? What is the best way to remember Allah? What is the best thing that I should be concerned to ask? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, say, Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Say, O Allah, you are forgiven and love forgiveness. So forgive me. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. The best dhikr and the best dua to say Number one, that you praise in Allah. Allahumma innaka afu. So you calling in Allah with His name, be al-afu, you are the most forgiven. And also, you saying tuhibbu al-afwa, that you calling in Allah with one of the actions that He loves. He loves forgiveness. You love to forgive. And you love to see others forgive others. So, as a result of this, please forgive me. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'fu anni. The hadith is authentic. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'fu anni. Last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 578, page 243. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تشد الرحالة إلا إلى ثلاث مساجد: المسجد الحرام ومسجدي هذا والمسجد الأقصى. متفق عليه. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying in this hadith, which reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim, may Allah be pleased with them, send mercy on them, the hadith is authentic, that don't sit up, don't sit out, don't take preparation to go and the Prophet to visit any mosque except three main major mosques. A trip to go from a town to town, or from city to city, or from country to country, with the purpose, intention, to visit or to pray in such a mosque, because you're going to get more reward, this is not in Al-Islam, except three mosques. The holy mosque in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and the mosque of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, in Arabia, and the Jerusalem, the Masjid al-Aqsa, the farthest mosque, which is in Jerusalem, Palestine. Other than this, you can pray in the mosque that in Columbia, South Carolina, or in the mosque in Raleigh, North Carolina. Both of them are equal in the reward. And you shouldn't act in a manner of jahiliyyah, assuming that by going farther and driving for 2 hours, that you will get more reward. Because all the mosques are the same. All the mosques are the same. In the amount of reward, you pray in this mosque or that mosque. Don't try to say that this mosque is better than this. Okay? But I get more reward by if I travel 3 hours and go through all this hardship. Okay? By this, inshallah, we understand that spending money and time in any form of worship is not legislated by Allah or His Messenger, would be a waste of time and money. You are not rewarded for it. Why? Because your action doesn't agree with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you make a prayer, you have to make it, especially making a prayer for the pleasure of Allah, you have to do it according to the way of Allah, not according to your emotion, not according to your feeling, not according to what you think is better. Allah and His Messenger tells us what's better. And the prayer in the mosque that in Mecca, each prayer equals to 100,000 prayers. Allah in the holy mosque in Mecca is equal to your regular prayer in any other mosque 100,000 times. And a prayer in the mosque of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is equal to 1,000 prayers that you pray in any other mosque. And a prayer in Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem in Palestine, is equal 500 prayer in reward than what you pray in other place. Inshallah, with this hadith number 578, which is authentic, we conclude for our class for tonight. As I told you, that it's going to be a short class. And inshallah, this will be our break from Bulugh al-Maram until after Ramadan. Okay, and after Eid. We inform you about when the class is going to continue. Because Ramadan schedule will be different. Inshallah, we're going to have more classes during Ramadan, maybe in a daily basis after iftar or before iftar. We didn't decide yet. We'll be like a small reminder. But from now on until Ramadan starts, which we expect it to be sometime during 18, 19, 20, 21, any of these days of December, inshallah. We're talking about 10 days from now, possibly. So we don't have a class because this Tuesday coming is going to be a school meeting. Inshallah, you'll be informed about it by the public relations officer. Because this is the reason why I'm not going to have a class this Tuesday coming. And the next Tuesday will be approximately a day or two before Ramadan. We're going to be busy with preparation or whatever, but if anything going to be taking place, I'll let you inform. And this, inshallah, our class number 37 is completion to the tape number 36. And this will be the completion and the end of album number 3 for explanation of Bulugh al-Maram. If anybody has a question, comment, correction, yes. I don't know if the i'tikaf in this mosque are double rewarded, more rewarded than any other mosque or no. I don't have this information this moment, but inshallah I will try to check on it. All what I know is that the hadith came concerning the prayer only. And Allah will say, yes. Maimun. The i'tikaf of the sister is exactly like the i'tikaf of the brother. There is no anything different except that they have to be in a way and a manner that not to be in the way of the brother. And as I said, they can put a sleeping bag there, they can put a tent, they can put a curtain, they seclude themselves in an area. And they're going to be sitting in this area day and night. And they're going to step out of the mosque, except for any necessity, okay, as example, to go to answer the call of nature, or as there is no food served here, as they have to eat outside, they will go outside to eat and come back right away. And the rest of the time, between sleeping, resting also, and studying knowledge of Islam, Quran, Hadith, reciting Quran, saying Astaghfirullah, saying Subhanallah, making prayer. But they are not supposed to be going, indulging in worldly talk also. They avoid all the haram things, and they have less talk about this dunya, and they shouldn't be doing things which will violate their etiquette, inshallah. But it's not from between the etiquette of brothers and sisters. Yes. 10 days, the last 10 days of Ramadan, and you finish it by Salat al-Eid. You go from your etiquette to Salat al-Eid. Inshallah, this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. He used to make the last 10 days. But let's say, inshallah, I don't have any statement in Quran and Hadith specifically to say you can make one night. But we understand that Allah said in Quran, Istaghfirullah ma istata'tum. Fear Allah to the best of your abilities. Do good deeds to the best of you, what you can. So if you can make one night only, alhamdulillah, inshallah, is good, and we pray that it's acceptable. Yes. Did you raise your hand, Abdul Rahman? Excuse me?
No.
Okay, Abdul Rahman.
How does women's
work affect you on the Saturday? It depends in your financial. Okay? So if somebody, as example, he has enough money to feed him, to cover the basic needs of him and his family, for these 10 days, that means if he stays these 10 days in the mosque, you are not going to be going and asking people to lend you money, okay? Or that you are not going to go after this and find your clothes and your stuff on the sidewalk. It's not in the apartment anymore. So you could not. So a person has to maybe keep things like this in mind. And if he has intention to have a hikaf for Ramadan, he should work extra hours or try to be saving money during the year. So these 10 days that he can be sitting and be in the mosque without going out. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Excuse me. Okay. Good line. Is it about Islam? Okay.
Can a Muslim pray a obligatory prayer on the first standing while moving, or can he be allowed to sit down?
Okay. If the person knows that this bus is going to stop after half an hour or 1 hour, you still have enough time to make your prayer, no need for you to stand in the bus. But if you know that this bus is going to be going for 10 hours non-stop, if you are traveling, okay, if you are a traveler, Islam permits you to combine your prayer. If you are not a traveler and you in a city bus, you know, like half an hour, 1 hour, you can. Okay? But you shouldn't put yourself in a position that will be disturbing for other people also. Okay? So if you know that the bus will stop in half an hour, 1 hour, you still have enough time to do, you don't pray in the bus standing. But if this bus doesn't stop, and you did not combine your prayer, and you can stand up without falling and without disturbing others, yes. You got it? Anybody have anything before we close? Appreciate you coming, and inshallah we see you. No, it's not next year. As I said, only next week because we have the meeting. So, those who are teachers, parents, staff, whatever, we see you next week. Go to Anwar, inshallah, you'll be informed if there is any other classes, but I doubt that we won't have anything before Ramadan. Jazakumullah khairan, I appreciate you coming, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all of us, inshallah, a blessed month, Ramadan. Jazakumullah khairan, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.